Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 1 to 13. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we to the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. So far, sermon text. Maybe seated. In Christ Jesus, who has set us free, dear fellow redeemed, this is now our fifth sermon in Paul's letter to the Galatian Christians. And it's the third part of his letter. In the first part, chapters 1 and 2, Paul laid the groundwork for the gospel, saying that it was God's, not theirs, not his. It's not man's, but it wasn't his, God's gospel. In the second part, chapters 3 and 4, Paul showed clearly from Scripture that salvation is alone by God's grace in Christ Jesus, and that nothing we can do in the least saves us. Now in the third part, chapters 5 and 6, Paul applies all that he's taught upon to the lives of these Christians, and then therefore also to our lives today. Since Christ has done everything for our salvation, we have been set free. We're free from the slavish obedience to the requirements and regulations of the Old Testament laws. We're free from the condemnation of the law. And we're free to willingly serve Christ. Freedom is a very special word for us Americans. Hundreds of thousands of Americans have given their lives in battles to give us freedom. The freedoms, the many freedoms that we have today, we should give thanks to the Lord on a daily basis. And yet all of these freedoms that we have are nothing compared to the freedom in Christ Jesus. The freedoms that we have from political tyranny and oppression of a dictator can't be compared to the freedom from the spiritual tyranny and oppression of Satan. The freedom from a guilty conscience is far greater than the freedom of speech. The freedom that we have in Christ from all of our spiritual enemies is better than the freedom to bear arms and defend ourselves. Paul begins our text in chapter 1 by saying, Christ has set you free. We read again, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Both the word liberty and free in this verse here from the Greek come from the same word. They mean deliverance or rescue Christ's redeeming sacrifice has rescued us, delivered us from several things. Delivered us from the punishment of sin, set us free from the power of sin, delivered us from accusing conscience, rescued us from wrath and condemnation of God, and also set us free from the bondage and slavery of Satan. But Paul is especially talking about another kind of freedom, deliverance or rescue. And that's from the law and its curse. The condemning nature of the law that says you must keep every single command of God perfectly in thought, word, and deed, or you're going to go to hell. We've been set free from fear. The fear that welds up in our hearts when we realize that we have not done what God demands of us. And God doesn't change. He doesn't say, "Paul, for your sake, I'll bend it a little bit and I'll compromise here and there." We're set free from that fear that realizes every night we go to bed that, again, today I didn't do what God wanted, I'm going to hell. No, we're set free from that fear. Alone through Jesus Christ. Paul in our text is thinking yet of another freedom. And that freedom then, he says, is they should stand fast in that. They should stand firm in that. These Galatians began well. Paul said, you were basking in the sunshine of God's love in Christ Jesus. And you were walking well. And then someone came along and they were turned around enslaved. The term for stand fast means like a tree, firmly rooted, so when a storm comes, it doesn't uproot. Or a soldier, staying in the face of battle, he's standing firm, no matter how bad the battle rages. Paul says that's how they should stand, and we should stand too. Stand firm and stand fast in that gospel freedom, and not be entangled and weighed down again by the Old Testament regulations and ceremonies and laws, or the laws musts and shoulds and have-tos. We've all been set free. Second point, Paul talks about in verses 2 and 3. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. From his apostolic office, Paul lays this upon the hearts, this terrifying truth that if they felt they had to be circumcised, then Christ was destroyed in front of them. If they believed that they had to do this, the circumcision of the flesh, in order to be assured of their salvation, in order to make their salvation more sure and certain, and then Paul said, everything Jesus did was useless. And more than that, Paul said, everyone who believes this way and is circumcised then must keep all the law. Human beings just can't pick and choose what they want to do here in regard to the ceremonial laws. If you can be circumcised, then you must keep the Sabbath and all the ceremonies and all the regulations and then the whole law. We can't just say, well, I'll keep this commandment or that commandment, or I'll keep them this way. God says perfection. And those who live under the law thinking that they can be saved by their own righteousness, their own good deeds, then have to hear what God says to them. Whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in just one point, he is guilty of all. And the wages, the payment for sin, is death. So Paul goes on in verses 4 and 6. You have become estranged from the Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Earlier, Paul had said to these Galatians, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You who are trying to be justified by law, Paul says, have been alienated, estranged, separated from Christ. You've fallen away from grace. Those are some awfully strong words. And they need to be strong words. Because when you take grace, God's undeserved love in Christ, which saves us through Christ's perfect life, suffering, death, and resurrection, and combine it with works, the law, what we must do in order to be saved, then everything Christ did is destroyed. That's not a path leading to life. That's a path leading to death. The only thing that counts is Christ. Faith in Christ Jesus. Paul says we don't spend our time to earn salvation by our works. We spend our time serving our Lord eagerly, waiting for that hope of righteousness. And that sounds kind of strange. Paul has taught, and the scriptures teach, that we already have righteousness. God has declared you and me righteous, perfect in Christ. We're totally justified in Christ Jesus. But Paul is talking about this hope of righteousness where we don't just be called or declared righteous, but actually stand righteous and perfect in God's eyes on that judgment day. Where Jesus himself said, will say, "Come, blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Paul spoke of this hope in Titus when he wrote, "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Paul says, you ran well. You had a good start. You're running down that race, headed for the finish line of heaven. Then someone hindered you. Literally the word means they cut in on you. Like you're running along, someone cuts in front of you and he moves you off. You're no longer running on the right path. You're no longer running to the finish line there. You're now going this way. And that path leads to death. They were no longer listening to the Lord who had saved them. They were no longer listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were now listening to these so-called Jewish Christians who said, yes, Jesus is important, but now you must make sure your salvation is certified and assured and certain by keeping these Old Testament ceremonies. The teaching, Paul says, was like yeast spreading throughout the whole batch of dough. This false teaching concerning the Old Testament laws and regulations was spreading throughout Asia Minor, throughout Galatia, to all of these Gentile Christians, trying to place them back under the bondage of the law of the Old Testament. And even though we see Paul's deep, deep concern throughout this letter to the Galatians, in verse 10, he shows his confidence. He is confident, he says, "I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind." Paul was assured the Holy Spirit would take these words of his and work in their hearts that repentance that would lead them away from what they had been following, back to the gospel message, back on the right track, run the right race, so they would see that salvation is found only in Christ Jesus. Those who did not listen, those who taught differently, Paul says they will face the judgment. We read, "But he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off." In his righteous anger and indignation, Paul berates these false teachers, and even a little bit of mockery says, "If you believe a little physical mutilation, cutting off of your flesh, gives you some spiritual goodness, well then go all the way. Emasculate yourself. Cut your whole self off." In other words, if you're going to keep a little bit of law for salvation, then you got to do the whole thing. Keep it all. Finally, Paul concludes our section of study this morning with a warning. He says, freedom from the law doesn't mean license, but love. We read in verse 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Yes, we have been set free from the demands and the condemnation of the law, but not from the law. For we walk, we live by faith. And faith works through love. And love is the fulfillment of the law. Paul showed them the ditch on the one side. The ditch on the one side is that we have freedom in the gospel. Don't be enslaved and burdened and weighed down by this bondage of the law, the requirements, the regulations, the ceremonies. But then there's the ditch on the other side. If we're set free from the law, then we have a license to do whatever we want to do. In other words, when liberty and freedom comes from the crystal law, then we can do whatever one pleases, whether it's God-pleasing or not. Paul calls it, do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Some examples. We have the freedom in Christ as Christian adults to use or not use alcohol. But many misuse that freedom by abusing it and drinking to drunkenness. We have the freedom in Christ to watch TV, go to movies, read magazines and books, listen to music. But many abuse that freedom by watching, listening, reading immoral, ungodly, pornographic things that hurt our soul and break God's law. In Christ, we have the freedom to earn a living. We don't have to become monks and take a vow of poverty. We can earn money for ourselves. But many abuse that freedom by becoming workaholics, working 7 days a week, earning more and more and more for themselves, abusing their families, not coming to church, thinking that working for this life is all that there is. We have the freedom in Christ to use our talents and our abilities. But many abuse those freedoms by using those talents and abilities to their own glory, or in pride and arrogance saying they gave them talents. Or they don't praise God and they become self-servers. Paul says, don't let the freedom from the law be license to sin. Because freedom, real freedom, means we're willing slaves to Christ and willing servants to each other. Now that sounds contradictory and sounds illogical to the sinful flesh. But freedom in Christ means being slaves to each other and willing, selfless slaves to Jesus. We've been set free from the condemnation of the law, from the curse of the law, through Christ's perfect life, through his sacrificial death upon the cross. He's paid for all of our sins, and that message moves our hearts to deep gratitude and affection, to self-sacrificing tenderness, to genuine sympathy and empathy towards others, and to spontaneous giving and forgiving of one another. One man wrote that he was putting in an underground sprinkler system, and he said it was fascinating to see how it worked, how they mapped out where it all would go, put together all the metal and the sprinkler heads, and did the hose and put it into his pond. He said we held our breath as they turned the pond on and it started slurping up the water, and the water shot through, and then the pressure pushed up the sprinkler heads and sparkling clear water was sprinkling all over his lawn. Well, we're like that. We're connected with all of our components to the source of the gospel. And the Holy Spirit then takes that water of life, fills us with it, so we can sprinkle it out upon this dry, dead lawn of the world. The Holy Spirit first changes us, and then He uses us. Changes from selfish, self-centered unbelievers to selfless, serving, willing servants of Christ who have been saved through Him. And in Christ, we then see love where there is anger and spite. We see joy where there is bitterness. We see peace where there is worry and anxiety. We see kindness where there is meanness. We see goodness where there was harshness. We see faithfulness where there was betrayal. We see gentleness and self-control where there was self-indulgence. We see freedom where there is slavery. And we see a willing serving where there was selfishness. May our Christian freedom lead us to daily thank Jesus Christ, who has given us that freedom through His suffering, death, and resurrection. And by His suffering, death, and resurrection, may we, out of thankful love, be moved to put our freedom into practice by becoming willing, selfless slaves in obedience to Christ and in service to each other. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.